Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank Professor Bob Harvey and Manny Perez. It's Wednesday, and that means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. Long night, huh?
Yeah, I was at the Mandela event until close to midnight. Gave up that we'd actually know, and we still don't know. That Mandela's campaign is not conceded and is saying every vote needs to be counted. So,
yeah, I was there until midnight last night, maybe about 12:30 this morning, and so, but Mandela's. And Ron Johnson's situation notwithstanding, what are your thoughts on what transpired yesterday in state as well as nationally?
Well, this continues to be the battleground of battleground states, a 50-50 state, though the composition of where the vote's coming from is changing. And the same with nationally, which has implications. I mean, as both good implications and implications that are going to be problematic moving forward. It's amazing, democracy's at risk, and it still is, and yet there was almost presidential level turnout, right, in a midterm election. So it tells you, ironically, as democracy is threatened, people are voting more and more, but whether they're willing to stand up for it or not is almost an even split. So I don't know. I'm a sports fan. Lose the Badgers lose at the buzzer. It's almost more, you know, more heartbreaking than if they get blown out. So though you're disgusted when they suddenly are shooting bricks and get blown out. So I mean, this is hard to stomach that Mandela is losing by 27,000 votes. I mean, that's a virtual tie, and then we get six more years of Ron Johnson as a result. So everyone, in people calling in, all the news people, the pundits, we all have their little theory of if he just done this, he just done that. You know, in this close a race, you can go back and forth and Monday morning quarterback it all you want. And in fact, most of the proposals made would not have been more effective than what Mandela and his campaign did, once you really think about it.
You know, it was a monumental task. And I tell people to unseat a two-term United States senator, and to their credit, and all of the people who put forth the effort and time and energy and organizing, the ground game, everything that took place in that election, you know, hard work, the planning. I don't know how, you know, you can be critical of it because, I mean, 27,000 votes against a sitting senator with all the money that Ron Johnson had, all the negative, it's things that came out. And yet, you know, here we are and, you know, this thing is still hanging by a thread.
Yeah, and there's something strange happening. The polling industry, I mean, they really need a reckoning, and the media needs to stop being lazy and just reporting polls as news all the time, because I think it influences outcomes, because they didn't know what was going to happen. It's pretty clear. You could just judge if you took them as very rough guesstimates that the election's close. That's about what you knew, and it was extremely close. This is very interesting. Historically, it's very unusual for a president to gain ground in the first midterm, especially if they control both houses of Congress, and so or not to lose a lot of seats. And they lost. If they lost Congress, it was losing very few seats, and it's looking like at this point, though we have a number of races that aren't called, like the Senate. Majority for the narrow one for the Democrats will hold. They might even gain a seat. And so, I mean, it's currently projected that Nevada and Arizona. Arizona will go to the Democrat Mark Kelly. Nevada is exceedingly close, but the projection of experts is, with what's not counted yet, that it will, that Senator Cortez Masdow will be reelected, but that one's, you know, could go either way still. And then, of course, Georgia can go either way, and it's unclear at this point whether there's enough votes to get Raphael Warnock over 50%. Otherwise, we got a runoff potentially for the control of the Senate again in Georgia. But you have a midterm where the Democrats shouldn't do this well. You have 40-year high in inflation, which is a killer political issue because it's so present in people's lives. And the great job President Biden, Democrats have done of maintaining employment, that isn't as present because people didn't lose their jobs, but they are facing the inflation. And then the way the crime issue was ramped up and weaponized and racialized, and the amount of money behind it, the record spending, it is shocking that that Democrats are winning races in this environment. And it tells you there's something the polls are not measuring, Earl, not only about abortion, but about people's trepidation about the direction of the Republican Party and the threat it is to our over 200-year-old experiment in Democratic governance.
You know, Dr. Craig, when I came in this morning, I thanked many of the Republicans who could have just knuckled under and went along with this foolishness. And the Fox News, if you will, or WISN radio, false information, if you will, and all of those things. But they chose to really see this from the perspective of, is this in the best interest of this country? Right? You know, we can blame Joe Biden and say all of it is because of Joe Biden, as you've heard Republicans continuing to, you know, spew that garbage. Everything is his fault. And yet there were people who normally voted Republican, you know, even in the wild counties, Dr. Craig, where it has been a foregone conclusion ever since Scott Walker that Brown County, Washington County, Ozaukee County, Waukesha, were all going to go in overwhelming numbers to whoever the Republican person was. And either the demographics of those areas are changing, or the younger people who live in those areas, Dr. Craig, are not feeling the same thing that their parents and grandparents were. It's got to be one of the two.
And I think it's those, and it's also that suburbs are moving the Democratic direction generally because the politics of grievance, the MAGA politics, is grating to some suburban folks, particularly suburban women. And so they're becoming less of a suburban party gradually, each cycle, but getting even bigger numbers in other parts of the state, the more rural parts of the state. I mean, you saw Waukesha is still a Republican county, but it's getting closer. The Democrats are gaining votes every cycle, and they did again this cycle. Mequon was county was much closer than it's been, so that is changing. Washington County is not changing as much; it's performing, but that's partly because it's fairly rural as well. It's not all straight suburbs, right? And so it actually fits in some ways. It's separating itself from the other two suburban counties. But, you know, it used to be an axiom in Wisconsin politics, you get 45% Brown County, because the whole county is red, even if Green Bay, the city, is blue, right? And you win statewide, but that didn't happen for Mandela, which tells you that we're losing ground other places. So we've got to be conscious of the fact that the reason this is a close race is we had massive turnout in Madison. We had more Democratic inroads in, particularly in Waukesha and County, and in Ozaukee County. Excuse me, I called it Mequon County. That Mequon is the largest city in it, but Ozaukee County. And but then we lost ground elsewhere, which made it a 50-50 race. And we need to invest more in those places. I mean, we at Citizen Action are deliberately in places like Wausau and the surrounding area, in the Driftless area along the Mississippi River, because we need to organize there, or it'll get worse and worse every cycle, and we'll need even more votes out of the Madisons and the Milwaukees.
Dr. Craig, were you at all surprised at the outcome? I mean, the fact that Governor Evers, you know, did even better than he did against Scott Walker this time around. I mean, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I've always had it in my gut. I mean, the polling was so all over the place, it was hard to tell, though he generally has led in polls, that Governor Evers has a strategy that would never get him a Tommy Thompson supermajority. He's never going to win 58%, right? That his brand is to be reasonable and inoffensive and to do some generally popular things. And part of the reason he beat Walker is because people didn't want all the drama anymore. I mean, he is very, you know, he's low stress. He's the neighbor that you don't mind stopping by your house, right? he wears well. And so I was in a gut reaction that if he did well, he'd just get 51%. And Michaels, he was the incumbent, and Michaels was the challenger. Walker was a more formidable candidate, even though I think Michaels was a strong challenger as a candidate in a lot of ways. The two incumbents may have won here, which is interesting given the anti-establishment, the desire for change on the part of the electorate. We can talk more about it. I have more to say about what made Evers win than that, but I can hear the music.
All right, Dr. Craig, hang on. I see you, Bill. We'll come to you after the break, 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig. Let's go to the phone lines and Bill. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
No, thank you, Earl, and thank you, your whole station and the group of people. The red wave never happened, and all Trump's people that he recommended are now losers. And it happened for one reason. You were an integral part of this, you and that station. You don't alienate people. You educate them. And I want to hear CJ's thoughts, or RJ or whatever he is, and Gary from Sussex and all those people. But I've got some news you can use. I predicted this was going to happen already. Dan O'Donnell is talking about illegal voter fraud. Well, I knew it would happen. You could set your watch by that old boy. You really can. Because, you know, if they're losing, they're not losing because they lost. They're losing because somebody cheated them. And I tried to get on the air. I got past his screener, but then he just put me in indefinite hold. And I wanted to say, Dan, democracy has prevailed. We can move forward as two parties, but let's move forward with respect for each other, not that that you lost for some reason other than you lost. Stop that, because you insult your intelligence and you insult the intelligence of people who listen to you. So thanks again, Earl. Keep it up. And boy, if I could ever meet you and buy you lunch, I'd just like to shake your hand and say, you're awesome.
Well, listen, man, thank you for listening. Thank you. And we'll do that. I promise you. We guarantee you we'll do that. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, you were explaining before we went to break about, and help me remember what that thought was.
Winning, and this is not, I'm going to tell you something that will not come from a lot of more conventional Democrats and the media, I predict, though it should. There's going to be, assuming this holds up and Manella Barnes loses narrowly, that there's going to be this pernicious narrative out there that the problem was is that Mandela was too connected to progressives and the left, and look what happened to him, and that you need to run in the conservative wing of the party, like Governor Evers. And what that ignores is that Mandela was the force on the ticket that excited the base, excited young people. There were lines everywhere for college students, right? And we have a large proportion of college students who are eligible to vote in this state relative to other states. And what you saw in Madison. And so Evers maybe doesn't win without Mandela on the ballot, because elections are now more about base turnout. There are very few ticket swing voters anymore. There used to be a lot more 20 years ago. And we're going to learn the wrong lesson if we think that Mandela, that we just can't be close to, you know, bold policies that will change people's lives more dramatically. That was critical to Evers' success, and they should acknowledge that. And we cannot go and abandon the things that will motivate our side, because the other side is incredible at turnout, because division and hatred and fear work, and lying, the big lie, as your last caller just talked about. So I'm really concerned that Democrats will learn the wrong lesson and will lose what we had with Mandela here that actually drove the turnout that made it possible for us to hold the legislature in a gerrymandered situation. They did not get an override-proof majority, and that made sure Evers won and narrowly, because those voters who were turned out by Mandela, they also voted for Governor Evers.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is a great synopsis. When you and I had the pleasure of being around, Mandela during the campaign and seeing all those wonderful, well-educated young people who looked at Mandela as the future. He is the future. This is their time, Dr. Craig. It really is, and those of us, you know, who've been around a little while and want to say, well, you know, you got to be more of a conservative Democrat, have to realize that those times, you know, are really coming to an end. It's a new day, you know, and for the Democratic Party. And so we can't keep holding on to it with the old ways. Don't upset this person or that angers this person. We've got to temper the things that we say. If we don't do this right, or too many people, too much focus on the urban centers of Milwaukee and Madison and all of those things. And Mandela, to his credit, if you look even at the top of the state, he won a couple of those places right at the top of the state. So, you know,
Douglas and Ashland and Bayfield counties, yes.
Yes. And Mandela clearly was the kind of candidate, or is the kind of candidate, that has moved around the state and been accepted and spoke to everybody. So, yes, and even if the outcome It's not what we all hope for. I agree with you. There's a lot that the Democratic Party should take from this, and not from the perspective of, see, if those progressives just back off, we'll be able to do great things. Because the progressives aren't going to back off. As well,
you made a great point. I got more to amplify that after the break. I know we're getting to the bottom.
All right, Dr. Craig. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig is on the line. Citizen Action. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of... Dr. Craig of Citizen Action. I was up late last night. Let's go to Sophia. Hey, Sophia, thank you from Waukesha. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl. I kind of differ with your guest there today.
Okay.
I am a Republican, but Tim Michaels was not a good candidate. And then also the fact that Donald Trump came out a couple days before the election and started talking about what he was going to go in 2 weeks. He's going to give some big bombshell, which means probably he's going to run. I think that a lot of people, as a Republican, I'm tired of Donald Trump. Now, I didn't vote for either Republican yesterday. And that's the first time in my life that I didn't.
So what was it about Tim Michaels, you know, that you, you know, didn't feel he was worthy of your vote?
I know him personally.
Oh, okay.
And what he said about, how do I put this? The things he said about, you know, gay people, they can do something in their home, but
right. They
can't, shouldn't go out.
He said a lot of horrible things, no question.
Oh, they were terrible. They were terrible. And and I watched Waukesha County, which is generally Republican. It was going blue. I mean, it was basically people were voting the opposite way because he's well known in Waukesha County. I don't like the fact that he doesn't live here. I don't like the fact that he doesn't tell the truth. You know, I'm a Republican like my parents were a Republican, and I believe in the truth. And if you can't tell the truth, then you shouldn't be running.
Was there any pushback?
That's Tony Evers. Tony Evers won on the truth.
Was there any pushback?
The rest of my...
Was there any pushback with you because they brought him in and railroaded Rebecca Clefish? Did that play any role in your thoughts?
That bothered me. But I know Michaels to be a liar. I mean, right now I can't give you the information that I'm a retired attorney. No, but there is going to be something coming out about him. I didn't want to do it prior to the election because of the fact I wanted it to be run clean. I figured he wouldn't win because of what he is, but eventually you're going to find out what he is.
Do you think the Republican Party was aware of it and decided to back him anyway?
No, I don't think they knew what I know. He's kept it quite hidden. Other than the fact that the circuit court knows what in Waukesha County.
So we don't want to get into any of those things on the air.
That's why I'm telling you I don't want to, right, and that's why I don't want to say anything until it all comes out. However, when he said he wanted to be the head of law enforcement in this state. He can't even be the head of law enforcement in his own family. And I'll leave it at that. And you can try to figure out what I mean by that.
Hey, Sophia, thank you very much.
It has nothing to do with his children, okay? Earl, I'm going to call you again sometime because I like listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Dr. Craig.
Very interesting call from Sophia. Obviously, we don't know what she was talking about in the second half, so I guess we'll wait to see what comes out, or whether Mr. Michaels is able to prevent it from coming out, whatever it is. But what she said at the beginning is really interesting, and I can contribute a lot to the conversation because it is a firsthand perspective that the Trump visit and the association of Trump with Michaels, I mean, he got the nomination in the primary because he was the Trump candidate, may have harmed him in some suburban areas. Obviously, she's talking about Waukesha County, but I think Ozaukee County is the same thing. Now, it's still a Republican-voting county. What we're talking about here is Waukesha County. I believe the last numbers I saw, Earl, 62%
right.
Republican this election instead of 75%. So that 13% is huge in the statewide count because it's the third largest county in the state. But it's still a Republican county. But so I have no doubt that what Sophia is saying is true because it's reflected in these numbers. But what you just remember, I talked about how important base turnout was right. And how high it was that Mandela brought on the Democratic side to the ticket. Well, by associating himself with Trump and bringing him in, he increased turnout massively in a lot of the more rural, deep red areas of the state. So there's a trade-off. So it's a little hard to tell with Michaels how much he lost and gained in the transaction, because he also gained turnout, and he needed massive turnout to be competitive, and Johnson needed massive turnout to potentially win a very close race. And so it's not like they could have been conventional Republicans of the Tommy Thompson variety and still not lost just because they would have lost on turnout. So that's the challenge here, though there is critique that the Trump visits to Arizona and Pennsylvania were not helpful. So Sophia is giving us a similar view from the ground here, referring to Waukesha County here.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm going to go back to before we went to break. I was saying that these young progressives who were there with Mandela and pushed the Democratic Party, the centrist Democratic Party, and you said that there was something that I said that you wanted to add on before we went to break.
Yeah, there's a complexity to what's happened to the Democratic Party. It is a much more progressive party than it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, 28% of Democrats said that, you know, were self-identified as liberal or progressive. And I was, the media doesn't report on this, I was going into the deep crosstabs of polls to find out in Wisconsin what it is now. It's about 55-58% progressive, okay, or liberal. So you can't ignore the majority of the party. On the other hand, unlike the Republicans where the MAGA wing dominates, you still got 40-45% of voters being in the moderate wing with Tony Evers. So what we really have here is we have a party that is a coalition between those two wings. And the nice thing about this ticket, having Mandela as a U.S. Senate candidate and Tony Evers the congressional candidate, is we had both wings of the party accommodated, and we got the strengths of both in this election. And that's why I'm so worried about the establishment wing of the party deciding that we should do only the Evers approach to politics. That will damage our turnout so dramatically among the rising voters, voters who are more regular voters, younger voters, a lot of young voters of color, that it will doom us to losing. So in a weird sort of way, both sides of the party need each other, need to recognize that. And some of the firebrand radical progressives, and I'm radical, but I want to get I also want to recognize how long it's going to take, right, to get to things like Medicare for All. And so, and it's going to take a lot of progress over time. And so they need to understand you can't just dismiss the moderate wing of the party, even though it's smaller. We still can't win without Tony Evers and the folks that are closer to him ideologically.
You know, Dr. Craig, I always like to challenge where people say if somebody's radical because they have a vision or an idea of including everybody. That shouldn't be radical, right? I mean, we use that term, and in some instances, you know, you can people will exchange or interchange the term radical with crazy. And so they can dismiss that. Well, he's a radical. Well, you know, if people are willing to stand up and tell the truth and about things, that shouldn't be a negative connotation, right? I mean,
no.
But most of
the public is radical, Earl, because most of the public doesn't like the way things are now and wants change, right?
Right. Right. So that's.
I mean. Including Republicans, including the MAGA wing. They're just misguided as to what change we need that would help people, right?
Yes.
So, and, you know, you think about it. You think of income inequality. You think that we used to have relatively even distribution of the gains, the economic growth of this country between working class folks, middle class folks, and wealthy people in this country. It's all been skewed the last 40 years by the rigging of the economy, where everyone who is not ultra rich is getting a smaller share. If we just had the same level of equality we had in the mid-1970s, people wouldn't be so vulnerable to inflation. You wouldn't have 40% of households in the United States not being able to afford a surprise $400 bill.
Right.
That's why inflation is such a big issue. So the fact that they've made people so economically vulnerable, they then use to their advantage and run against Joe Biden and Democrats. So there's a horrendous irony here. And what the problem with the split result, Earl, is it's going to be harder for democracy to function. Evers will not be able to legislate. The legislature will not be able to override his vetoes. Same in Congress. If we end up with a Republican House, even if the Senate is narrowly Democratic and a Democratic president, then people will be frustrated because democracy won't function because we can't do the things we actually need to do. And that's the problem with this split decision. We actually need a Democratic majority that can actually implement what most people want in this country, which is a better deal for most people.
You know, Dr. Craig, there'll be people who will say, you just had the Democratic majority and you couldn't get it done. I agree with you 100%. And the reason that we couldn't get it done was two conservative Democrats. Even with the things that President Biden was able to move, we had this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do some big things, and because of Christian Sinem and Joe Manchin, all of that was wasted. Well, not totally wasted, because there's some positive things that happened, but the agenda that all of us dreamt for and wished for and were hopeful of, you know, we're not going to see that again for a long time to come, because as you stated, on the state level as well as on the national level, nothing's going to get done. And this is a time, Dr. Craig, when there needs to be something done, right? People need to see movement. They can't stand to be stuck in a stalemate when they are struggling.
I mean, one thing that we can capitalize on here to give up a little bit of a silver lining, by getting the Inflation Reduction Act done and the infrastructure law, There's a whole bunch of money out there that this administration, through their administrative authority and the administrative authority of Governor Evers and of cities in this state, blue cities like Milwaukee and Madison, Eau Claire, Green Bay, Racine, et cetera, can actually improve people's lives with if we do it right. So there is more opportunity because even though we didn't get everything we wanted, if you really add it up, President Biden had one of the most successful first 2 years of any president in the 20th century or early 21st century, and a lot was passed, including the most serious climate legislation ever passed in this country, and it's going to be an economic engine if we do it right for really creating a large number of middle-class family-supporting jobs for everyone left out and for everyone who wants to move into the fast-growing green economy, which is a lot of folks, a lot of middle-class folks need better opportunity. And so there are opportunities here. Obviously, the fact that we didn't do a lot of popular things because of the filibuster and two senators being loyal to this Jim Crow institution, it not only would not get things like raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour and the number of other popular provisions that would have lowered prescription drug costs for everyone, not just folks on Medicare.
Welcome back to, the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. And, Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action is on the line. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Hey, good morning, Eric. What's going on, man?
Good morning, Dr. Craig and Professor Earl. How are y'all doing?
Yeah, right. I'm fine, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I'd like to say that, as Dr. Craig was talking about, after this autopsy's over with, where we're going to hear a lot of focus on what the Barnes campaign did or did not do in order to distract from the fact that, way too many white Wisconsinites voted for Tony Evers, Josh Call, the rest of the ticket, and then flipped to Ron Johnson for senator. And so if we don't hear a lot about that, there's a crime going on in the press.
That was my sentiments, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what, Earl? It's a position that I feel comfortable holding, being the person that brings this stuff up to talk to our people, so to speak. And this is what's gonna. It's a clear statement that I stated this morning. As much as they talk about it being, radical, as the words being thrown around this morning, Wisconsin needs CRT in K-12. And then they need to go home and teach their frickin' parents, what the truth is, so we can all move forward and evolve someday. But immediately speaking, I'd like to say that following this autopsy, it's very important for the Democratic Party, for Wisconsinites, and for your radio station as well, I'd have to say, to pivot to this crucial spring Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Because if it can be flipped to 4-3, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Craig, but we can probably maybe set something up to go after the gerrymandering. And what I'd like to say about that is, again, back to Dr. Craig's point, is that this is where I think maybe he was dropping hints that the Wisconsin Democratic Party is going to have trouble, because right now it seems the leading candidate is Judge Everett Mitchell out of Madison, who's very progressive, and I've met him once or twice, loosely, and he seems like a great, super progressive guy as a judge. It's amazing the way he speaks. But I think that's going to creep up in the spring about, whether he's a quote-unquote viable candidate, however they like to say it kind of thing, or should we go with a more conservative candidate? So that's about all I have to say for now. Last night was great. Not quite what we turned out, but again, we need to keep working on it.
Hey, Eric, man, thank you for all the work you put in, man, and people like you. So really appreciate it. Dr. Craig?
Right. I'm glad he brought up Supreme Court. He is absolutely right that if the Supreme Court changes hands, it becomes a 4-3 majority with actual judges in the majority, then we don't have to deal with this horrendous gerrymandering that's worse than the last one. Look at a 50-50 race and look at the results in the state assembly and the state senate. It's appalling and outrageous, and it's not democratic. I do want to give a shout out, though, to a former citizen organizer and state senator, Jeff Smith, who did win re-election, and he was the top target of the Republicans and did win re-election narrowly. So, and good progressive guy who did grassroots politics. But he's also, Eric, right on about the dynamic in this primary. Now, we're going to have a forum in early January, it says, next, and it will be open to the public. And so we haven't endorsed yet, so I won't jump in all the way for Judge Mitchell. though I'm impressed with what I know about Judge Mitchell. So we have to go through our process, but I want to say we should have a real discussion of who's the best candidate. And if we hear, as Eric said, which I think we will, we need to push back on the idea, oh, one of the candidates is too progressive, because a more progressive candidate also will spur more turnout. And the other side is very good at turnout right now of their base. And these are low turnout elections. A spring election will have a lot fewer voters than a midterm, let alone a presidential. And so it would be catastrophic, and we'd be learning the wrong lesson from this race. We need to understand that Mandela Barnes inspiring the base of Democratic voters is what made it possible for Evers and Call to win.
Quickly, Dave from Mequon, go ahead.
Morning, Earl and Professor. I'm sorry, Dr. Craig. Really quickly, I just wanted to say, you know, when we talk about the gerrymandering, you have to realize that predominantly the Democratic strongholds, you're getting almost 25% of all the votes for Democrats in one county, in Dane County. That's, I mean, that is very, very concentrated. I know that people think, well, you know, it's gerrymandered, but if you look at the other counties, it's very close. It's not overwhelming one way or the other like Madison. Milwaukee is obviously another one, but that being the case, you know, what I see is this. I heard another caller speaking about Tim Michaels. I don't think he was a good candidate. And I also think the fact is that he didn't work very hard. And what I mean by that is, from what I understand, he pretty much wrapped it up like 6 o'clock. You know, he didn't campaign. He was only doing 2-3 campaigns a day.
Yeah, but you know, Dave, people can say that after it's over, but he still almost got 50% of the vote. So, you know.
No, but he bled. He still lost. There's still about almost, you know, keep in mind, obviously, we had a third party running in there. So even if most of those probably would have gone to Michaels, but he still would have lost by almost 50,000 people. So he did a very poor job, I think, personally, Michaels, as far as what his positions were. And, you know, at the end of the day, it just wasn't, he just did not.
Dave, I wish we had more time. We got to run. Thank you very much for the call. Sure, Dr. Craig, you want to sum it up?
Yeah, I'm interested in that the critiques of Michaels are interesting, and I don't want to claim, state outright, that he was a good candidate. He probably was not as good a candidate as Tommy Thompson or Scott Walker, but they were both exceptional candidates, unfortunately, for the state. And so, but I think ultimately, a lot of this election ended up being structural. And what the last caller was talking about the concentration of blue voters in Madison, that's happening all over the country. People are moving towards people who agree with them, and so places are getting bluer and redder. These maps, I mean, he's right. There's a natural advantage for Republicans in the state because of where they live. There is no need to gerrymander outrageously on top of it. Probably the Republicans would have a slight advantage in holding the state assembly, even if you had fair maps, but that's what we should have. And it's outrageous that we don't have real democracy as long as we have. These are the kind of maps the Soviet Union would have had.
So, Dr. Craig, man, thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get some rest. as always, we'll see you next week, Dr. Craig. But thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? Is that how they call it? I don't know. Whatever it is. Got to go. See everybody on tomorrow.